Thank you, Tony, and thank you once again, as usual, to the music team. And I know Tony just prayed, but let's just pray again. Yes, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we just pray that, I pray, Lord, that you would speak through your word this morning. Speak through me, Lord. Let me say the things that you want to say. And Lord, I pray that we would have hearts which are open, which are willing to hear, to receive what you want to say to us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, and Lord, that we would find ways which we can apply your word and make it work in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Although before I do start, it would be remiss of me having the opportunity, given that this Friday is Friday at 11, not to mention Friday at 11 on Friday. So it's just a reminder for those. I know that not everybody is able to be here, not everybody is able to be actively involved, but at least if you could remember us, remember us in prayer even, support us in prayer, because Friday 11 has been over quite a period of time our main interaction with the seniors in the community, so we'd just like to see that continue. So if you're able to be here and support us, if you're able to be here and be part of what's going on, that's great. But if you're not, it'd just be great to know there's people out there supporting us in prayer. So as Tony did mention, as we continue on our Transform series today, that we are up to financial health. So yes, you did hear right. You've come to church and the preacher's going to talk about money. So I know that's it's the ultimate stereotype, isn't it? That, you know, so many people think churches just talk about money. Preachers just want to preach about money. But what we're talking about this morning is not just about money. It's actually about our financial health. Although I was thinking originally of having, we might have communion at the end, and that way the offering would be taken up after I talked about our financial health, which, you know, might have seen an increase in the offering or something. But it's more than about our money. What I wanted to talk about this morning is about our financial health, because God wants to transform every area of our lives. You know, we're not to be conformed to the world. And the world has some views about money, has, you know, in many ways, the world in general is in bondage to money. And so we don't want to be in bondage to money. And so as I talk this morning, it's not just about giving. It's not about what we have to give, but it's about how we can, you know, live financially healthy lives. And even as I was thinking about the words financially healthy, it sounds like, well, that means you'll have no financial worries. And I'm not promising anything in that way. But there are some things which we can do. There are some things, some attitudes we can take on, some things that we can apply to our lives, which will mean we'll be healthy in the financial, in the realm of our finances. In other words, we won't be in bondage. We won't have to find, we won't find that we have to be in the same sort of struggle as what the world is and what the world offers. But of course, you know, there's lots of stories about preachers and money. You know, there's one particular preacher who has come to the time of the offering in the service, announced the offering, and he announced that, you know, everybody is encouraged to give something, all except for the person who's been stealing Bill Jones's chickens, because the Lord does not want money from a thief. And that Sunday, for the first time ever, everybody put something in the offering. You know, money plays a huge part in our lives, and it's actually the subject of maybe more than we would think in the Bible. you know, including Jesus' teaching. So the way we handle money and our attitude to it is vitally important. That, as I said, that we do not be conformed to the world in our use of and our attitudes to money. And so money is like our time. It's like our bodies. It's like our health. It's like our talents. In the sense that it's a gift from God. And as such, then we are required to manage it. And that's going to be the second point I look at today. But rather than making money more than it is, we need to remember it is. It's a gift from God. We have that responsibility to manage it. And so the two things I want to look at today as we talk about our financial health, or having, maybe we talk about having a financially healthy attitude to money, is that, you know, to remember who our source is. God is our source. And also to remember that we are stewards. We are to manage that money. You know, we can't take money with us. We can only use it while we're here. Although, there's lots of people have tried. I mean, it seems that the Egyptians tried to take things with them. Seems that some of the Chinese, ancient Chinese culture may have tried to take it with them. I think plenty of people, even in our culture, have. There was one fellow who was very wealthy, but also very stingy. And his wife had put up with this all their married life. And on his deathbed, he made his wife promise that she would put in the coffin with him all of his money, all of his worldly wealth. And of course she dutifully promised to do that. And at the funeral somebody asked her about this and said, "You didn't really do it, did you?" She said, "Yes, it was a promise, it's a promise." And she was asked, "You know, like, you really put all his money in the coffin with him to be buried?" And she said, "Yes, I wrote him a check for the whole amount." So we can't take it with us. We can only use it while we're here. And so our attitude to money and the way we use it to our finances is vitally important. So the first thing in having a healthy attitude towards our finances is to remember that God is our source. It's not money, it's not finances, it's not even our job. That's our source, it's God. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or drink? What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So we see there that Jesus is telling the people, his disciples, telling all those who would listen, that not to worry, because God is our source. It's not our jobs. It's not what other form of income. It's not the government. It's good that these are there, and God uses these. But if we fail, we But if these fail, we still have the promise from God. And so the first key to having a healthy financially healthy attitude is that we look to God as our source, that we expect God to provide our needs. We look to God to provide. And God promises, he promises in that passage food and clothing. He promises through the Bible to provide food, clothing, and shelter. He doesn't necessarily promise a house. He promises food, clothing, and shelter. And these don't come just through income. But God will provide our needs. And I was just thinking about the way that God provides at times. And if it was just in money, then there's a lot of people who would have missed out on God's provision. I think it was the man we know as the heavenly man, Brother Yun, who was put in prison and wasn't given any food. And he's in there, there's no food. A rat crawls into his cell and the rat's got a potato in its mouth and leaves the potato for him. The next day, same thing happens. He had no money. He wasn't getting any money, but God was providing. And fortunately for us, most of us probably will never have to be in that same situation. But we need to look to God as our source, that God provides. And it's not just through the dollars and cents. It's not just through that fit, you know, the figures and numbers. But it's the fact that God has promised he will provide, and it's him we look to. As it says in Philippians 4 verse 19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And we will look at that in a few moments. But it's God who's promised to provide. And it's interesting because we have these basic needs of food, clothing and shelter. But in our culture, the society we live in, we would consider that there are many other things which we have, which we would call needs. That really to function in our society, we need transport. Whether that's in the form of a car or what that is. But we need transport. We would consider that a need. We would consider electricity a need. We would consider the internet a need. These days we virtually consider needs, mobile phone. There are many things which we would consider beyond the basics of food, clothing and shelter as we would consider essential to survive in our life. And so, has God promised to provide for these things? What he's promised is to provide for the things we need. We need to understand, to look at, to determine what's a need. But beyond the food, clothing and shelter, we have to faith for, we have to believe for. And it's how we use our finances, how we use our income, how we use the things that we've been given to meet these other needs beyond our food, clothing and shelter, which is also part of our stewardship, which is also very important. But we need to understand that God's promise to meet our needs, that he's the one who promises to do that. He is our source, and that he's the one we look to. We don't put our trust in our jobs. We don't put our trust in the government. We put our trust in God. And in verse 33, that where we just read in Matthew 6, where Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So we have the promise from God that he will provide. But we also find that the way into that promise, the way that we can be sure of that, the way that we can rest in knowing that God is our provider, God is our source, God will take care of our needs, is that we put Jesus first. We put him as the most important in our life. And when we do that, when we put God first, when we put Jesus first, when we make Jesus as Lord of our lives, and he is the most important thing, he is more important than anything else, that he's the one we worship, that he's the one we go to, that he's the one we trust in, then we find that we have this promise that he will take care of our needs. And so that's also very important to remember, that as we remember the very important thing that God is our source, that the way we tap into that is not to put our needs, not to put our worries first, but to put God first, and we will find him faithful. And so then as a result of that, so if God is our source, that means, you know, we don't trust money for our security. You know, people say money talks. My money doesn't talk, it just waves goodbye. That's if I even get to see it. Mostly it just goes through the bank account. And actually it says that, I didn't realize this, but there's actually in Proverbs, it does say that the money can do that. The New Living Translation puts it this way, it says, don't weary yourself trying to get rich. Why waste your time? For riches can disappear as though they had the wings of a bird. Well, the New King James Version puts it, for riches can certainly make themselves wings. And I gather from the reaction just a moment ago that many of us understand, they have experienced that, that, yep, they can just fly away. And so we don't trust money for our security. We don't trust riches of any sort. We don't trust our jobs even, because things can change. And which is why we need to look to God. You know, we allow him to use our jobs. We allow him to use our you know, the income streams that we have. But that's not our source. God is our source. And if we can understand that, then we will find rest. We'll find peace. And so then if God is our source, not money, then we also need to understand that we don't love it and we don't live for it. As it says in Luke 6 verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so mammon really is the worldly view of money, the worldly view of riches. So we can't love God and love money. One or other has got to be first in our life. There's no two places on the podium. Because the thing is, we might think we love God, but if we love money, if we love finances, if we love riches more, then that will be the thing which we worship more, which we serve more. And so we do have to remember that God has got to be number one. And then that we use money, we keep money in its proper perspective. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10, most of us will have heard part of this, at least from the King James Version, says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. You've probably heard the saying, money is the root of all evil. Well, actually the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't mean that every evil that's ever been committed came from a love of money. But if you think about it, if you were to love money, if that were to be the first thing in your life, then there is no sin and there is no evil that you would restrict yourself from to make sure you got that thing that you love. And so if we love money and if we have an improper attitude towards money and towards finances, then it will lead us into any possible, well, there's no possible evil, there's no possible sin that we wouldn't necessarily be immune from. But in that passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it actually goes on to say how some, having a love of money and riches, have actually as a result strayed from the faith. Because money, because riches became more important. An example of what we just read in Luke chapter 6. Verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. We need to see God as our source, and if we do see God as our source, then that will keep finances, it will keep other things in a proper perspective, because they can be dangerous, they can lead us astray. So we must see God as our source, and we must see God as the most important things in our life, and let him provide our needs. We need to remember that money can never satisfy. Only God can truly satisfy. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10. Whoever loves money will never have enough. And whoever loves wealth will never be satisfied with his income. And so if we look to something other than God as our source, if we look to something other than God as the most important in our life, we can never find the satisfaction because we can never have enough. It's only God who brings the lasting satisfaction and the fulfillment in life. You know, finding a satisfaction with money can cause us to settle for less. I just said we can never find real satisfaction, but sometimes we can find a satisfaction with what money provides. You know, we become satisfied with the kind of happiness that money can give. And we fail to realize our need from God. C.S. Lewis said that. We can actually get to the point where we become satisfied with something less. Only with the happiness that we get from money. But we have every moment to totally be... we are every minute dependent on God, and we need to remind ourselves of that. We need to remember that. So God is our source. God's promised that. We need to look also in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 10 to 20. Because, again, this contains that verse. My God shall supply all our needs. But there's a whole passage here that Paul has written about that. So in Philippians chapter 4 and starting in verse 10, it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." So we see that Paul is writing to the Philippians there. The Philippian church has sent Paul an offering, which was very helpful at the time and very much appreciated. And Paul there is thanking them for that. And it's not the first time the Philippian church has sent money to Paul to finance him in his ministry, finance him in his endeavors. But we see that Paul starts that. If we look at verse 11 and 12 and 13, he says that he's able to live in whatever circumstances God calls him to. And having a financially healthy attitude means that we're able to live in whatever God calls us to. It's not about looking for something that's beyond us. But Paul says, he says, "I've had a lot, and I've had very little. But it doesn't matter whether I have a lot or it doesn't matter whether I have a little, because I am able to survive. I'm able to serve God, whatever it is that he calls me to, whatever situation, whatever circumstances he calls me to." And we see there a real key to having that healthy attitude to finances. And then verse 13, Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." How many of us have ever grabbed hold of that verse? But Paul's saying that right at the end. He says, every circumstance I face, whether I've had a little, whether I've had a lot, I've been able to serve God. He says, I can do all things. I can do this because it's God who gives me strength. And if God is our source, if we're looking to Him to be our source, then it's whatever He gives us, whatever He allows us to have, then we're going to be able to thrive spiritually in that sense. We're still going to be able to serve God. We're still going to be able to love God. We're still going to be able to minister for God. Because it's not about the finances. It's not about the riches. It's not about the money. It's about God who gives us strength to do what He calls us to. And so an important point in being able to have a healthy attitude to finances is that as we look to God for our source, we also look to Him to strengthen us for whatever circumstances He calls us to. You know, we can ask God, we can believe God to improve our circumstances, but we have to be able to love Him, to serve Him, to follow Him regardless of how our circumstances are. And also that we do see the second key to living in God's supply. The first key, remember, seek first the kingdom of God. Make Jesus first in your life. But the second key, where Paul says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory, is in response to the generosity of the Philippians. He says, you've given, and you haven't just given once, but you've given again and again. You've been generous with what you've been given. And because of your generosity, you can rest in this knowledge that God is going to take care of your needs. And so that brings us to the second point. The first point, remember, God is my source. And so then the second point is that we are stewards of God's money. Whatever money, whatever finances we have, we are stewards of that. So the thing is, I don't really own anything. Money, resources, my life, my time, my gifts and talents. All of these God has entrusted to me. And it's up to me, and He's entrusted those to me to manage. He's entrusted those things for me to meet my needs and to bless others. To meet my needs and to help others. And so the second key then to having a financially healthy attitude is that we don't see anything as belonging to us. We see it as belonging to God. If we can look at everything as belonging to God and not to us, and on loan to us, then that will help us with our attitude. That will help us with how we deal with that. And so if we know it's God's money, God's finances, God's resources that we've been trusted with, we don't waste it. You know, we need to be wise with how we use money. Charles Spurgeon said, a fool may make money, but it needs a wise man to spend it. And if you think about how the money goes from so many of our accounts, I think, yeah, maybe a bit more wisdom there wouldn't go astray. We need to be careful not to waste money. We need wisdom to spend it. It is so easy to spend money without thinking, particularly in our society, particularly in a capitalistic culture. But remember that God gives us what we need to provide our needs, to provide our food, our clothing, our shelter, to provide for the transport that we need, to provide for our children's education. You know, He even gives us usually enough for our hobbies, the things that keep us sane, the things that we, you know, whatever we spend our time with, that we just like to get away with and refresh ourselves. I mean, that can be a need, and it's something that God can provide. And we could go on from there. But the thing is, we need to ask ourselves, how much do we need to spend on our comforts? How much has God given to spend on us, and how much has He given to give us to give away? We need to see finances as a tool to be used for God's purposes. God wants us to use them. And actually, coming back to the first point about how being wise even with the way we spend money. You know, there's many people here, I'm sure, within the church who are much better financial advisors than myself. But sometimes we actually need to actually think about how we spend the money on ourselves, because God's entrusted it to us. And if we spend it on ways that take us away from Him, then actually we're wasting it. Even the ways that we spend it on ourselves, on our children, God's given it to us for growth. Not to spend it on, well, what the Bible calls lust, not to spend it on things that take us away from God. So we ask ourselves, does the money we spend on ourselves help us to grow? Does it help others to grow? Does it bring me into contact with others to encourage them, to be a blessing to them, to bring them to Jesus? That's actually ways that we're spending money ourselves and in a family that's actually a positive thing, because we're making sure that we grow and we're helping others to grow. And so we're actually using the money wisely there. And so these things are important about the way that we plan money, the way we manage it, the way we spend it. But then, of course, the Bible talks about giving. And the question is, how much? You know, I was going to say this at the start, it slipped my mind. You know, I actually am employed by the church, but I'm employed to drive the bus. All my income comes from what we get for the bus. What I get, you know, from the Transport New South Wales to drive the school bus, what I get for driving other things, it's all paid for. I don't get any other money from the church. There's nothing for me to be gained by talking about giving. But I just want to share some thoughts here about what I see, what I believe that the Bible talks about. Our giving talks about the way that we use our money. You know, J. Oswald Sanders put it this way. He said, the basic question is not how much of our money we should give to God, but how much of God's money we should keep for ourselves. And I guess for many of us, you know, who know we should give, who know even we would want to give, we would ask that question. It reminds me of three men who were travelling around together, and they'd come into some money. They'd been given some money. And they thought, well, we need to give some of this to God. But they thought, well, how much do we give to God? And the first person said, well, I know, we'll draw a circle on the ground. We'll throw the money up in the air. Whatever lands inside the circle belongs to God. The second one says, no. We draw a circle on the ground. We throw the money up in the air. Whatever lands outside the circle belongs to God. The third person said, no, I think what we should do, we draw a circle on the ground, we throw the money up in the air, and whatever God wants, He keeps. We do have responsibilities with giving. The Bible talks about giving to finance the ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians 8, chapters 8 and 9 talks a lot about giving to finance the ministry. If we look at the idea of giving right through the Bible, there's two areas. There's two groups of people that we're called to give to. We're called to give to the ministry. In the Old Testament, we read about giving to support the Levites and the priest, the ministers. Paul talks about the Corinthians needing to give. He wasn't talking about you need to give to me. He's talking about you need to give to those who minister to you. Spends a lot of time on that. But then there's also But in the Old Testament, we talk about the widows and orphans, those who can't support themselves, those who don't have enough. We're actually called to give to these type of people. We're called to give to empower the ministry. And we're called to give to those who have needs, who can't support themselves. And that's one of the things I love about Samaritan's Purse, about compassion, about our children's homes in Sri Lanka, is that when we actually give to those things, we're actually giving to help people in need. There's also the gospel is preached with it. And so if we can give in such a way where we are meeting needs and we're seeing the gospel preached, then I particularly love that. And even as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about, you know, Rach in China, that she's ministering, she's giving her time, she's ministering to people who really wouldn't have any sort of love, who wouldn't have that opportunity if she and her group weren't there. So we're giving, those of us who support Rachel, we're giving to her to help those in need, and at the same time, they're telling them about Jesus, preaching the gospel. So there are things that we're called to do. The question is, as I said, is how much? And I just want to just quickly share a couple of thoughts on this. Some people say that tithing is Old Testament. Now, tithing was in the law, but it actually started before the law. We first come across tithing with Abraham in Genesis 14, and then with Jacob in Genesis 28, and then we see the law. If we see our money and our finances, our income, as a lent to us from God, we understand the first 10% belongs to Him. The only problem where tithing becomes a problem is when we say, well, 10% and then all the rest I keep. A 10% is sort of like the minimum. Even in the law, they were required to give 10%. Then there were other offerings for different things. You know, there are promises right through the Old Testament, right through about if we tithe. You know, tithing was something for myself that took a little while to get a hold of. I'd hear preachers talk about tithing and I thought, well, it's easy for you. You get a lot more money than me. But I found when I started tithing, well, first of all, there was peace came. But I remember, so early on in our marriage, this is before we had children, and it's a little while ago, you can tell by the figures here, it's a little while ago. But Mel and I, we'd had to go to Wagga for something. We're on our way back from Wagga. Mel had actually stopped full-time work, was just getting casual work at the time. We're travelling back. We knew we had less than $10 in our bank account. And I'm not sure what was in our wallets, probably about a similar amount. And we talked about it and we thought, no, we've trusted to God. We're going to trust God. When we got home, there was a message that they wanted Mel to come into work the next day. You know, that's been our experience. You know, we trust God. We haven't had a lot of situations like that, but that one I remember does stand out. That was probably the only time where things have got tight. But I just remember being able to just relax about it. We knew that we trusted God. And the great thing was He came through. It wasn't just words anymore. We experienced that with God. And so but then the Bible talks about giving beyond that. How much are we able to give? You know, we give what we're able to, but remembering that what we have has been lent to God. We give to expand God's kingdom. We give to release others. Another way that we can give, it's not all just about money. It's not all just about dollars and cents and figures. You know, for ourselves, that we spend a lot of time actually accepting less income than we could have. I say we. I mean, mainly it's Mel. She's the one with the talent and the brains and all that. But together we've accepted less income because there's been things that are more important. Sometimes it's been family. That's been important for us to have someone at home with the family. at other times, as right now. It's about this time we want to give to God. So we're not actually giving physical dollars, but we're sacrificing those to give our time so that, you know, we can serve the kingdom, so that we can serve God. But it's about that same attitude that I want to give to release others. I want to give to help others. I want to give to see the kingdom grow. And so we need to have this attitude that God is my source, not money, not my job, the government. That actually we're called to manage our money. And so if we just sum that up, we'd actually say that God, we need to be aware that God is using money to test us. Everything we've been entrusted with is a test of our faithfulness, our life, our time, and that includes our finances. How we use our finances shows what we love most. As we already touched on this, but just quickly, Matthew 6:19-21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, God deserves and God insists on the first place in our life. And so whenever I live for money, it becomes my master. We need to remember that we need to, it's to be our servant. And so we say we might not live for money, but when it become, when it takes on too much time where we worry, spend too much time worrying about it, you know, it becomes our master. It's the same thing. So it shows then what I trust, but it also shows if God can trust me. And Luke 16:10-12. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? You know, it's a principle. In God's kingdom, he trusts us with a little. If we're faithful in that, he's able to give us more. Now, just because we've been faithful with a little finances doesn't mean God's going to give us huge. But anything that we're faithful with means that God knows he can trust us with that. And he will trust us with more in his kingdom, more of the important things. We must be faithful in what we have for God to trust us with more. And just as we do come to a close, you know, I need to confess that this whole idea of giving, that sometimes it's easier for me to give my time. Sometimes it's easier to give my gifts than it is to give money. For others, it's the other way around. Sometimes it's easier for to give your money than your time. But if we can have that attitude that everything we have belongs to God, it was given by God to us on a loan for us to manage. So we see that God is our source. We trust him. And we make money our servant. We use it wisely for our own ends. We use it to equip for God's kingdom and expanding his kingdom. And we give what we can to God for use in his kingdom, for his ministers, for his ministries. And if we do those things, then we're going to find that we have a completely different attitude to money and finances and riches than what the world does. We find we're moving in God's kingdom, in God's economy, if you like. And we'll find that there's a lot more than what, there's a lot more satisfaction, there's a lot more riches than what just worldly riches can buy and what money can do. So Lord, I just want to thank you that, Lord, none of our needs are hidden from you. Lord, I want to thank you that you care about every part of our lives, Lord, even about our finances. Lord, sometimes you might provide, actually give us the things we need. Sometimes you'll give us money to buy those things. But Lord, whatever it is we have, you've trusted us with that. You've trusted it with us to meet our needs, but also to bless others, to help those who don't have as much, to help those who do have needs, and to expand your kingdom. Lord, I pray, first of all, Lord, that we would not let money or finances be a stress to us. Lord, despite of what the world says, despite of what we see on TV, despite the advertising that's around us, Lord, it will not be a stress, and it will not become a God to us. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would faithfully obey that commandment, that we will put you first, we would seek first your kingdom. And Lord, I pray also, Lord, even as we use what you have given us in all things, Lord, for our own needs, Lord, help us to look to you, help us to find wisdom in you, Lord, in how we can use the extra that you have given us, the extra you have entrusted us with to use for your kingdom. Lord, that we would be faithful servants, we'd be faithful stewards. Lord, not just in our finances, but in every part of our life. And Lord, I thank you that we don't lose anything when we trust you with all this, but we gain because, Lord, we gain from your kingdom. Lord, I just thank you. I give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.